Welcome to the podcast of Lancaster Brethren in Christ Church, located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. LBIC is a community being transformed by the love of Jesus, sharing this love with all people. We want this podcast to be an extension of our community, allowing us to connect with familiar voices and the things our church is thinking and talking about, even though we may not be together in person. So enjoy the podcast, and we hope to see you in person very soon.
Hey, Lancaster BIC family, it's good to be seen again. Miss connecting with you all face-to-face. Not sure when that's going to happen again, but hopefully sooner than later. One of the things I'm hoping and praying for us as a faith community is that we continue to be renewed in Jesus as our way and our truth and our life during these times that are just very, very different and difficult. Just continuing to pray that in some way we're being renewed in the ways of Jesus. Just wanted to share one thing with you and encourage you with one thing in terms of helping you center on the ways of Jesus during this time. I'm not sure if you've experienced this or not, but I know I've experienced this. Scripture becomes just very alive to me during times of disorientation or difficulty. And so I'm not sure what your interaction with the scripture is. But I would encourage you, if you're not interacting normally or regularly with the scriptures, to do so. For me personally, that doesn't mean I need to read a whole bunch of different things. There's actually a few chapters that I go to with some regularity when I have these times of disorientation as ways to guide my life. John 15 is one of them. Hebrews chapter 12 is another. Psalm 84 is another. But they're just ones that kind of anchor me and my life in God. And so I don't know what that might be for you. We're providing you with Lectio experiences online. But I would encourage you for in order for your heart, soul, mind, and strength to be formed and shaped during this time, not just by our experience, but our experience being formed and shaped by the scripture. I would very much encourage you, if you haven't been able to do so, to spend some time each day with the scriptures as a place of grounding, because it is God's communication to us, one of the ways that God speaks to us. And so take advantage of that. I think it'll be meaningful for you as well. Today we're going to be looking at Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. I love that we're in one of the prophetic books today. I think the prophets have a lot to say to us, and they have a lot to say because they speak in the context of displaced peoples. They speak mostly into the context of people who are in exile. Before we get into Ezekiel 17 or 37, though, just a few notes on the work of the prophetic and the role of the prophetic in the scripture. The role of the prophet or the role of the prophetic is not to look into some crystal ball and to tell the future 40, 50, 60 years from now or something like that. It's not future telling as much as it is taking God's word and hearing and receiving God's word and speaking it into the present. And so the role of the prophets in the scripture is, if God's people kind of are going this way in following, being faithful to God, but then they often do, and you and I often do too, we get off track for whatever reason. The words of the prophets come, the prophets receive the word of the Lord, speak it to the people, and the hope is that the people will then return to God and to faithfulness to God. And so the role of the prophet is to speak into the current situation, the context of the people, in order to help them and remind them and call them to faithfulness in their life with God. Something else that's interesting about the prophets is I would say they either speak into a time of disorientation, or in some ways they're speaking before the disorientation occurs, before an exile would occur. So Jesus, who is a New Testament, one of his roles is prophetic, speaks to the people of Israel in his time. And he's announcing the kingdom. And part of it is prophetic. Some of his judgment sayings and words are prophetic. They're warning the people of Israel, if you continue to go down this way, if you don't align yourselves with me and the kingdom that I'm proclaiming, there's going to be judgment, there's going to be destruction. And so the words of Jesus are seeking to be preventative in nature to guide the people back into the ways of the kingdom of God. But obviously, they didn't listen at that time. But then there's also Ezekiel and people like Ezekiel or Jeremiah. Jeremiah is unique in that he begins with the people before they were in exile and then travels with them into exile. But Ezekiel speaks into the life of the people when they're in the place of exile, so when they're completely disoriented. Exile is this place, and it's a metaphor in the scriptures for salvation, and it's a great way this exile and the return is the salvation aspect of it. But it's a very helpful metaphor for us to understand or to think about God's work, God's redeeming work with. So the role of the prophet can either be preventative, the words of the prophet being preventative, warning the people, or it can be a word and a voice of hope to the people that find themselves in exile or in a place of disorientation. And I think the word disorientation just keeps coming to me throughout this week as very descriptive of where we're at. And so this prophet Ezekiel is speaking to a people who are disoriented. And so perhaps as people who are experiencing disorientation during this time, we can hear the prophet's words and not only in his context, but maybe think about them in ours as well. So let's look at Ezekiel chapter 37. We'll just take this bit by bit. So we'll look at verses 1 through 3 first. Prophet writes, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know. You alone know.'" And so this vision that Ezekiel has takes place. So it's a vision, and it takes place in this valley of dry bones. And this valley of bones is meant to represent the people of Israel in this place of exile. I want to share with you a quote from James Wallace, who has a commentary on this, or commentates on this passage of scripture, that gives us an idea of what the experience of the people of Israel was like at the time, this experience of exile. This is what he writes. He says, "Ezekiel's vision is given for a people who have lost heart, who are suffering a death of the spirit, a living death in exile in a foreign land. Their temple has been destroyed, their holy city plundered, their leaders maimed and put into chains, their soldiers put to the sword, their young men and women either killed or dragged off into a foreign land. Ezekiel witnesses the soul of his people gradually wither and die, becoming as lifeless as a valley of dry bones." And so for this, for Israel's situation at the time, this valley of dry bones is very symbolic and a metaphor that the Spirit shows Ezekiel and demonstrates to Ezekiel as representative of the people of God at the time. What I'd like to think about, because Ezekiel walks about, the first two verses before God even says anything to him, the Spirit takes him out into this valley of dry bones, and Ezekiel walks about the valley of dry bones. And so I thought it would be helpful, because there are some characteristics of this valley of dry bones that I think also speak to our time and to our place. And so let's sit with this valley of dry bones and the characteristics of dry bones. One of the things that I can picture if I was moving about through this valley of dry bones is just this experience of confusion and being overwhelmed. This experience of confusion and being overwhelmed. All these bones would be representative of people. These were lives that were lived. These bones would have been together and have breath in them, and they would have had names and faces and families and social and relational connections. And it would be both confusing looking at this bone, this valley of bones that is no longer people, but just remnants of people. And it would also be just overwhelming. What do you do with that? What do you do with this overwhelming situation of being in exile to a foreign power that is greater than you are? I would imagine that would be an experience that Ezekiel would have had and the people of Israel are having, is that they're simply overwhelmed by their situation. And I think this situation that we find ourselves in the midst of a pandemic too is overwhelming to us. I think it's important to be able to name some of the emotions and some of the experiences that we're having as we move throughout this very unique time in our life and really in our history. And so being overwhelmed and confused, I think, is part of it. Another characteristic that I would draw from this valley of dry bones is the dryness of the bones. Ezekiel says the bones were very dry. The bones were very dry. And this just speaks to their fragility, the fragility of the bones. And it also speaks, as I think about the time that we're living in and that we're living through, I think the word fragility, as Ezekiel views these bones, reminds us how fragile life is, how fragile life is. And we don't think about this much when we have the flesh and bones wrapped around us and we're able to live and breathe and kind of go about life in the way that we think that we can or that we're used to. But in this case, they're in a place of exile, they're in a place of disorientation, and life seems very fragile. Two Fridays ago, I guess now, we had our food pantry. And so we did it differently than we had done before. And instead of having folks come and kind of shop and pick their own things, there was a smaller group of volunteers who, and we got together and we just put together boxes for people to have, to be able to come through and just drive through and get them. And I've served in the food pantry since it's been open in one form or another, just picking up food, delivering things, setting up, whatever. But I was setting up last Friday and I felt very fragile. I felt very fragile. I felt like packing these food boxes, which was just something that we did, or at least that was my experience. You know, we set it up. This is something that we do. It felt like a thin space, a thin space where it just felt very, a lot more real to me than maybe it had in the past. And I was just reminded how fragile life is. And we served 43 families that night, which is, you know, 10 to 13 more than we usually do. And we're going to continue to do that in the upcoming weeks here. We're actually moving from, rather than it being a monthly distribution, we're doing it every other week for the time being. But I'm just reminded, you know, these words as we kind of explore this valley of dry bones, not only for the church, but I think humanity is, this is a global experience right now. We're moving through this valley of dry bones, and it's important for us to be able to articulate this experience of what it is like to move through them. One of the things that we want to do is give ourselves the permission to have the experience of walking through these bones and being able to name it and say, you know what, this is overwhelming. This is overwhelming, or this is confusing. But to be able to name those things and to be okay with it, it's not a sign of a lack of faith or anything like that, but I think it's a part of our human situation. It's a part of our humanity just simply to be able to name those things. It's part of being fragile, and that's okay. That's not weakness. As Paul says, it's in our weakness that we're made strong. Anyway, let's just continue to move down through this passage of Scripture. So Ezekiel has moved through these valleys of dry bones. He's had time to take it in, to observe this valley, this massive graveyard. And the question that the Spirit poses to Ezekiel then is, Son of Man, do you think these bones can live? And the Son of Man responds, Ezekiel responds to the Spirit and says, Lord, only you know. And then it continues on in verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, Son of Man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. A couple things I want to draw our attention to, both in the role of Ezekiel as a prophet and as the role of the church. What I feel like is the role of the church in their prophetic role. So the role of the prophet is not just Old Testament. The role of the prophet, the office of the prophet, certainly falls on individuals within the New Testament, but I also believe that the church has a prophetic role and a prophetic voice to proclaim and to be heard within the context of our world. And so it's the role of the prophet in the Old Testament was to speak to the people of God and to bring them back into alignment and faithfulness to God. And I do believe that there is that role within the context of the church that we certainly need to hear, but I also believe that the role of the church can be a prophetic prophetic voice and prophetic presence in the world to bring them to Jesus and to bring them into and to lead them into the kingdom of God. And so a couple of things I just want to draw from what we observe in this interaction with the Spirit and with Ezekiel in this passage of Scripture as it pertains to our prophetic role as the church and as the people of God. First is this, all throughout history, all throughout the biblical narrative, it has always been a partnership between God and humanity. It's always been a partnership between God and humanity. And we see the same thing happening here. God just doesn't set Ezekiel on a rock and say, hey, observe this for a minute. I'm going to bring all these bones together and I'm going to make beings out of them, humans out of them again, and I'm going to put breath in them. Just watch. This is going to be really cool. God doesn't do that. Instead, God partners with this instrument of the voice in a person and says, prophesy. And so Ezekiel prophesies, and then these things happen. And so it's this word that is proclaimed that then initiates the works of God. That's incredible because prophetic is not simply the words, but it is also the works. It is the words of God, and it is the works of God. So we don't want to just be people who are proclaiming the words of God, but it is always in cooperation with the works of God. The second thing that I would draw our attention to here is that even though we're in partnership with God and God is active through us as God's people, we don't just say anything that we want to, and we don't just do anything that we want to. If we want to be prophetic during this time, if we want to have a prophetic voice and a prophetic action within our world, we don't just do whatever we want to do. We are attentive to the Spirit. In other words, just like Ezekiel, he receives the instruction for what he is to do and what he is to say. There is an enormous amount of needs that are around us, and potentially there's going to be an astronomical amount of needs that are going to be around us. We're not going to be able to meet every need, but that's not to say that we can't meet some needs. And so what I would encourage us to do in order to be a prophetic presence in the world during this time is to be listening to how the Spirit leads you particularly to respond. So yes, you are called to be in partnership with God. You're called to be in partnership with God. You're called to be His God's mouthpiece or His hands, His feet, whatever analogy, metaphor you want to use. But you also just don't do whatever you want or whatever you think seems good. But during this time, you want to be attentive to receiving God's leading and the Spirit's instruction for how to be involved in the works of God in this world. You don't have to do everything. You do have to do something. You do have to do something. You have to respond in some way to the needs of the world that's around you. That is activating your faith. But you don't have to do everything. And the only way that you're going to know what to do is to receive that. And you receive that from a posture of listening and a posture of prayer. Typically, scripturally speaking, when people have visions, it's coinciding with this place of attentiveness to God. You might call that prayer, you might not call that prayer, but there is a posture of our spirit, our heart and our mind that is attentive to the things of God. And so during this time where we want to be representatives of God in our world around us, and we want to put ourselves in that posture of reception to have God instruct us in what He wants to do and where we might be involved, the only way to receive that instruction is to put ourselves in a posture of attentiveness and listening, and that comes through prayer. It comes through prayer. It comes through using this time. A lot of us say that we have extra time on our hands. I would encourage us, and this is not being legalistic or fundamentalist at all, but if you want to participate in the works of God during this time, you must make space for prayer and being attentive to the voice of the Spirit in your life. If this is not something that is normative to you, believe me, the Spirit is a gracious teacher, and I believe wholeheartedly that God will lead you in whatever way that God knows that you will listen and respond. God knows how to speak to you. It's not completely up to you, but you do have to make the space to be receptive to the voice of God. And so I would say for all of us during this time, if we want to be part of the prophetic works of God in the world around us during this very unique time, then we need to place ourselves in a posture of prayer. And that posture is a posture of prayer that is daily attentiveness, daily attentiveness, daily attentiveness to the things of God. Let me just pause also to say this. We don't need to do more. We don't need to do more. We need to do the right things. We need to do the things that God is asking us to do, not the things that we think that we should be doing. Earlier this week on Monday, I was having one of those particularly overwhelmed feeling kinds of days, and I just felt God say to me, you know what, Noel, you need to slow down. You've been going strong for 2 weeks now, trying to get everything aligned and out there and working with everybody or whatnot. But this is not a sprint, this is a marathon, and you need to slow down. And so for me, this was a call to prayer. It was a call to listening. It was a call to evaluate what I'm doing and to be attentive to the things that I'm doing and to be doing the things that I feel the Spirit leading me to do, not just ideas that might seem good to do at the time. So be attentive. Be attentive. If you want to, God's people need prophets and need the prophetic to continue to align ourselves. And this is part of the role of the church too, is to continue to encourage us in the ways of Jesus. So the church ought to be a source of encouragement to us to continue to follow Jesus during this time. So if you want to be a part of that encouragement, it also means that we're fostering this life and this posture of prayer. So lastly, then, Ezekiel ends this passage of scripture this way. He says, Then God said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back from the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. I ran across this line from Stephen Reed, who's a commentator and writes on this passage. And he says this, he says, "While life would have been enough for the bones, it is not enough for God. While life would have been enough for the bones, it is not enough for God." And here's what I think that he means by that. And I think this is how it speaks into our situation too. This is not just it's not just about the bones coming together and getting flesh on them and them going about their activities as normal. It's not enough that life wouldn't have been enough for the bones. You know, all of us can have life, but we can also have life apart from God. We can have life apart from God. And so it's not just about us having life. And particularly as the nation and the language in the nation is, well, how do we get back to normal? How do we restore the economy? You know, we're trying to normalize something, and it's very American, it's very triumphalist, but that's not the questions that we're posing as followers of Jesus. Life isn't enough for us. Life apart from God is not enough for us. And Ezekiel ends this passage of scripture where the point is not just returning from exile, because returning from exile is symbolic of something much, much larger. Returning from exile means returning to God. And the return from exile is an act of God. But it's an act of God also that the people participate in. They don't move from Babylon back to Israel eventually by some transportation. They have to walk that road. It is a physical and literal return for them, but it is something that God initiates and they participate in. And I think this is a wonderful tandem for us to have, a wonderful symbiotic relationship that is not just particular to this time, but is also particular to how God works and moves in our lives and through the church. On one hand, God is initiating. There's so much I language here. If I can find it here, the word I in those four verses is used eight times. The word I is used eight times in this phrase, "You will know that I am the Lord," is repeated twice. And so the purpose of this is that we would know God, not simply so we can just go about, live, and do our thing again, but so that we can know God. And so life isn't enough for us. We want to, when the exiles return, it's returning to a life with God. And for all of us, especially for us as followers of Jesus, this is an invitation for us to ground ourselves more deeply in the life of God. It is an invitation for us to ground ourselves more deeply in the life of God. And when I talked about reframing our narrative last week, one of the things that I just want to help us to reframe and wrestle with are those places in our lives that all of us have. All of us have these blind spots where we think we can go on about our lives, and we kind of have, you know, we have the illusion of control. And I think in this time of disruption and disorientation, the invitation is to give up this sense of control, and really to, I would say, you know, church, let's pray that our hearts are broken during this time for the things of God, that our hearts are broken for the things of God. And I believe that God's heart breaks over the brokenness of this world. And I don't know what that brokenness is going to look like. We have some sense of a semblance of what that looks like now. But we don't know what it's going to look like 1 week, 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now, 3 months from now. But I think the whenever a prophet speaks, their hearts are gripped by whatever they're saying. Their hearts are gripped by whatever they're saying. And for us as the church to have a prophetic voice in this time, it also means our hearts are going to be gripped. And so, you know, I would challenge us to just place ourselves before God. And even though we don't know what the outcome of this prayer looks like, I would almost pray the prayer, encourage us to pray the prayer, God, open my heart and break my heart for the things that break yours. Break my heart for the things that break yours. Holy Spirit, help me to be attentive to those things that you want me to be a part of in the world around me. I realize that I can't be a part of everything. I can't save everything. I'm not you. I am not God. I am not a savior. But at the same time, you are calling me to participate in the world around me in some way. And I can only do that, God, as I am grounded. My life is grounded in you. I'm not going to have the strength. I'm not going to have the energy to continue on the marathon unless I am grounded in you. It was like a prayer that wasn't a prayer. But I do think we, you know, this the sprint and the marathon thing have been helpful imagery to me. This is not just something that this time is, I think we're going to feel the impacts of months from now. And I don't know even beyond that. But as a people of God, the only way that we're going to have the strength to endure and to persevere, which is a characteristic of God's people throughout Scripture, particularly in the book of Hebrews. This idea of perseverance is only going to come as we are anchored in the life of God. Only as we are anchored in the life of God. And so that's what I would encourage us and call us to in this time, is to continue to anchor ourselves in God, to be partners with God in the world, not to feel like we have to do everything, but to place ourselves in a posture of listening and surrender, and then responsiveness to how the Spirit will lead us. And I think, and I hope this passage of Scripture too is very Lenten in nature, because it moves from death to resurrection. And that's just not something that happens on the cross, but it's a motif, so to speak, that we experience repeatedly throughout our lives. And I think maybe even this might be an experience that we have daily now, this experience of death and resurrection, where I know a lot of us, myself included, you know, there are times where I experience just an overwhelmed feeling throughout the day. And I have these movements where I feel not full of hope, but then God, out of mercy, breathes that hope back into me. And it's almost like this resuscitation. And it's what's happening in this valley of dry bones too. The Spirit of God and the breath of God just blows into us. So with that, let me pray for us and just commit us to God. Lord, these are unique times, not only to be human, but to be your people. And it's also a time to renew our understanding of how to participate with you in the world. God, I pray for our church family that you will call us more deeply into prayer, call us more deeply to be attentive to the things that your Holy Spirit is inviting us to be a part of. God, we give to you a savior complex to feel like we can solve everything in the world around us, but we also give to you our partnership with you and realize there are things that you invite us to do and to be a part of. And we pray that we would receive those things from you and act in obedience to them, leaving the results to you, Lord, but simply being obedient in what you call us to. God, I pray that you would ground us deeply in your heart, that you would shape in us your heart during this time, a heart for the world that's around us. Lord, help us to have the heart of Christ. And we know, especially in the season of Lent, that the heart of Christ is demonstrated most fully on the cross. And so, Jesus, we bring ourselves to you. We want to be your hands and your feet and your voice. We want to participate in the work of your kingdom in this time. And we pray, I pray, Holy Spirit, that for each one of us, you would give us imaginative ways to act on, to be a participant in your kingdom in the here and in the now. And we give these things to you through Christ our Lord. Amen. Love you all. Continue to journey through this time together. Love you much. Peace be with you.